Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Dearest friends of Christ Jesus, his dearly beloved, what I hold in my hand is something that you're all very familiar with. Anyway, you're familiar with the money. You may not be completely familiar with the photograph that's on here, or should I say, the portrait that is on here. Yes, on the $1 bill is a portrait of our first president, George Washington. But did you know that this portrait is an unfinished project? The painter of this portrait is a man by the name of Gilbert Stuart. He began the portrait in 1796, and he never finished it because he decided that he's going to make a profit from the image of our first president. Therefore, he didn't complete the project. He just started making copies of Washington's face, and he sold them for $100 a piece. An unfinished project. There are many unfinished projects. You probably have many unfinished projects at home. Yet Jesus today, Jesus is describing for us an unfinished project. But it's a project that is in the hands of our holy triune God. Therefore, this project, it will be completed as he so desires, since, as we all remember, he is the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus tells us what this project is this morning from the Holy Gospel. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." There's God's unfinished project, the proclamation of his holy gospel, the unfinished project of the church continuing to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Many people know this portion of Scripture as the Great Commission, even though the phrase Great Commission is never ever used in Scripture. Even so, it is an accurate description of what Jesus has just told us. Since behind this commission is an ever greater commission. Co as in CO-mission. A commission. In other words, there is a mission going on that involves Father, Son, Holy Spirit. His mission is combined, cooperative, and perfectly coordinated. It's the only perfect mission. And it's the mission that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. Now, our Old Testament reading, this is a very interesting reading, and most people know this oh so well, but they always misinterpret it. Do you really know what happened at the creation? Did you notice? Did you notice that the Holy Trinity is present? After all, the word God that you hear over and over and over again in the Hebrew is written Elohim. That's the plural form of God. Elohim, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What did he do? What did God do at creation? He spoke. You notice what it says? God said, God said, God said, God said. And when God says, it is. There's no delay. When Elohim speaks, it is, it was, and it will always be. That's the power of our holy triune God. There's none of this delay. There's none of this age thing. God spoke, and it was. You and I cannot fathom this. Human reason can't reason about it. Yet when God speaks, because he is the co-eternal, because he is the co-almighty, because he is God, what he says is. Over and over again, we see from our text, Old Testament, the Acts reading, and also in Jesus' Great Commission, we see what God is doing in our lives. Did you notice that God is always seeking? God is always looking for his lost sheep. He is seeking, and he is also sending. The Father sent his Son. He sent his Son into this world to seek and to save those who are lost. Jesus said that he came into this world in order that the world might be saved through him. The tender heart of your Father in heaven. It's a beautiful picture that you and I will now read as I ask you to take out your hymnal. You all have a hymnal in front of you. And turn to hymn 387. Martin Luther writes here very vividly about the tender heart of your Father in heaven. And he beautifully explains the mission of the Holy Trinity. Hymn 387. And let's read together stanzas 4 and 5. Stanza 4. We read in unison. But God beheld my wretched state before the world's foundation, and mindful of his mercies great, he planned my soul's salvation. A father's heart he turned to me, sought my redemption fervently. He gave his dearest treasure. Stanza 5. He spoke to his beloved son, 'tis time to have compassion. Then go, bright jewel of my crown, and bring to man salvation. From sin and sorrow set him free. Slay bitter death for him that he may live with thee forever. The word thee is a very important word. Yes, I know in our society today the thees and thous, they see them as being archaic, as being old-fashioned, and they can be thrown out. But the thee, dear one, the thee here is the plural form of thy. It's the plural form of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Your Holy Triune God, your Holy Triune God has begun his mission. And that mission centers on one man alone. It centers on the Son, Jesus. The Father chose not to carry out your salvation by force, nor did he choose to carry out your salvation by his divine command or will. His plan depended on the willing cooperation of the Son. And the Son, Jesus Christ, obeyed his Father's will. He was born of a human, a virgin. He suffered in his humanity, even to the point of death upon a bloody cross, and he died and was buried. All of Scripture points to and centers on Jesus Christ and what he has done for each and every one of you. Jesus is very God of very God, and he's also a true man. By his perfect life among his creation, he perfectly satisfies the demands of the law. Not for himself, but for you. By his suffering and death upon his cross, Jesus atoned for the sins of the whole world. He atoned for your sins and your sins and your sins. And thank God, he atoned for my sin. He's done this for all of us. He crushed the head of the devil and opened the gates of heaven for you. And by his glorious resurrection, Jesus has sealed for all eternity victory, your victory, over sin, death, and the power of the devil. He has done all of this great work for you, dear one. He has done it for you. Yet there are people who say, Jesus isn't God. I just heard it yesterday. A person was willing to say, I believe in God, but I'm not sure about this Jesus thing. And of course, my response always is, Jesus is God. And then I get some kind of human reason mumble jumble about how Jesus can't be God. Balderdash. Manure. That's all it is. I apologize for being blunt. But a person who cannot confess that Jesus is the Lord is a person who believes in a God that is not the holy triune God. They believe in a God, either themselves or they believe in the Father of lies. There's no two ways about it. Either you confess that Jesus is the Lord and live, or you will not confess that Jesus is the Lord and you will die spiritually in your trespasses and sins. God is not a God who sits on the fence. He wants us to make a confession, either for Him or against Him. And to confess against Him is so horrendous that I hesitate to speak of it. Rather, my dear ones, God the Father, He so loved the world, He so loved you, that He sent His Son into this world, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is what Jesus has done for you. This is His commission with the Father. Now we come to the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit's mission to empower you to live a Christian life. So the Father sent His Son. So the Holy Spirit now proceeds from the Father and the Son, as you have just confessed. What is the mission of the Spirit? He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it in Christ Jesus in the one true faith. Dearest ones, you are never, ever alone. You have a great counselor who's always walking with you. You received Him in your baptism. There you were baptized into the name Yahweh, the name that is so revered by the Jews that they wouldn't even speak it. Rather, they would say Adonai. But you have been baptized in Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He has come to you. He found you. He was seeking you. And He now lives in you. And now that He lives in you, He will never, ever leave you alone. He will always be with you. He will never forsake you. He will not leave you as an orphan. And it is the Holy Spirit who builds this faith in you, who strengthens you, who calls you, who enlightens you, who gathers you today, so that you will hear the truth of God's mission in your life. You see, the Holy Spirit is not some vapor that is floating around in space. He is God. He was present at the creation. He spake by the prophets. He was manifested at Jesus' baptism. He fills and empowers the Christian church here on earth. That began at Pentecost, which we celebrated last week. And He continues to do this work. There is nothing that can stop Him, not even the gates of hell, because of His love and His desire that you on the great last day will bend your knee and you will confess with your tongue that Jesus is the Lord. The Holy Spirit will always, always direct you to Jesus. Those who teach this spiritualism of today, they talk about all kinds of different spirits. But did you notice they never point you to Jesus? That's not the Holy Spirit. That's the spirit of demons. The Holy Spirit, God will always point you to God the Son. For in Him and only Him alone do you have salvation. Because of God's mission work, His mission work that He has begun in you, you now understand His command this morning that we, His church, we are to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, no other formula. Human reason wants to change all of this. They want to be more ecumenical. They want to more be liked by the world. So they change Jesus' commands. Wrong. Jesus has all authority on earth. We don't have the authority. The only authority that we have is to speak His word, which is what we do here at Zion, and we will always do here at Zion. And then He tells us that we are to teach them all that He has taught us. We teach every single thing that is written in this book. And we always point people, that's right, to the cross. For only here at the foot of the cross is where you have been sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. You have been washed clean, and you have salvation in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Dear ones, we must never compromise this. We must never follow the ways of the world. And we must always be willing to stand up and say, Jesus is God and Jesus is my Lord. And then speak the truth in love. Point to them. Point the unbeliever to the fact that Jesus has done this also for them. That Jesus is not in the tomb. He rose on the third day. All these other gods, you can go see their bones, or you can see their grave anyway. They're dust. Isn't it ironic that God told Adam that dust you are and to dust you shall return? Except Jesus is God. And His tomb is empty. And His tomb will always be empty. Because He's God. And in His resurrection, you've been guaranteed resurrection. You've been guaranteed a crown of life, just as the children have shown you. You also have a crown of life that is sitting on your head, but you can't see it. But on the great last day, it will be there, and it will never tarnish or spoil or fade, and it will never be taken from you. Dear ones, this is the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He came from heaven, that He was born of the Virgin, that He suffered and died for you and for me, that in His death and sin and the power of the devil has been defeated for you, that He rose on the third day, He ascended into heaven, and He is coming again. He is coming again to take you into His kingdom. This is His mission, and the end of His mission is your resurrection. Dear ones, this is the mission of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the mission of the Holy Triune God, of whom we worship today. And you are blessed. You are blessed because you bear the name. And you are blessed because all of your sin is forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.